Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Once again, we have now reached 11 years of shows, and it is my dearest hope that you will use the massive archives on freemantv.com and start looking into how we got where we are today. There is no other place where you're going to find consistent research every week for 11 years that's going to show you how you have become a slave. Now today, we're talking to no one special. He is the author of A Slave's Guide to the Galaxy. And we're going to investigate just how much we represent slavery on planet Earth. Maybe you think you're in charge. I have to giggle when saying such things because honestly, there is no way out. When we work within the system, we are part of the system and we are slaves in this galaxy. So Kai Holloway has joined us today. He is no one special, and he wrote A Slave's Guide to the Galaxy. And today we're going to discuss just that, how we are slaves in this galaxy, how it happened, and even more importantly, what we can do to change our minds to escape this mind control. So welcome to the show, Kai. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Freeman. I've been a follower of your work for a while now. And you do great work, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't mean to do any of this, and it kind of fell into my life. And honestly, I think that's one of the core elements to escaping this slavery is understanding that the universe is alive and working in your favor as long as you're not stuck in the slave mentality.
Now, well, yeah, I mean, I think as soon as you becoming aware or becoming awake or whatever you want to call it, or knowing the truth. On one hand, it's a very depressing situation and a very sobering mindset you go into. But then on the other hand, it's a very liberating experience and you won't have ever felt as free as you become, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not easy, folks, because honestly, when you choose this, truly accept this as your existence, then all possessions are lost. All thoughts of having this real world that they've described to you with your little house, your little family, and all of that, that's pretty much out the window as far as planning goes. It's not to say the universe won't bring it your way, but we really have to be at this disconnected state when we're looking at this reality. Now, I definitely have found, Kai, that if you want to find the smartest kids in the school, you go to detention and have a look at who's in there. Because I'll tell you what, I was in detention every day. And
I got expelled from three schools.
So. There you go.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? I think the illusion of authority, that's quite a major thing people have to get through. And it is all an illusion of authority. All these rules and must do's and must don'ts, you know, it is literally just one big illusion. And when you realize that, you sort of can play about with it and it doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm one of those people that I'm smart enough to mess with the system, and I always do. They wrote all new laws at my high school after I managed to graduate with honors while failing with all of my teachers. And, these were my little secrets on how to survive in this system. And, you know, I'm a system buster. I don't mean to be so, but when the world is throwing it in my face and authority, oh my God, you hit that word. I just have no respect for authority that is not earned.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more, especially when the authority you sort of laid onto does or gives you nothing back in return. It literally gives you nothing back in return. You feel, the problem with people nowadays, they become so complacent and apathetic with the little that they have. They don't strive for any more. They don't think there's anything bigger out there. And it's as soon as you break the mold, for years, Freeman, I was a normal guy. Like I said, I was ex-military. I was a businessman. You know, I've done all the normal things. I strive to do the right thing. And it just, the system beats you back into place at every point that it can. And I think if you're not fighting the system, you're a slave. Well, we're all slaves there anyway. You know, that's the point of the book.
No.
But, you know, that is the point, isn't it? We've all got to do what we can to break that mold. And if you're not doing that, well, a lot of people are happy with the slavery. Well, admit what you are. You're a slave and be happy with it. I'm happy for you. You crack on, you know, and it's not. But, you know, things have got to change. Well, I look at what's happening in the world. And I'm fed up of seeing children covered in blood who have lost their parents, or mothers crying for their sons, and, you know, just blood everywhere. Blood, blood, blood. And it's all caused from this nefarious system that keeps us in place. And it's got to change. It's not right. We shouldn't. We're the only creatures that are born on this planet that have to pay to be here. It's just a complete fallacy. And it's not what life's about, is it?
Not at all. And you made you have a great quote in A Slave's Guide to the Galaxy by Thoreau about having 2/3 of leisure time. If you do not have 2/3 of your time to yourself, then you are a slave. Now, that was Thoreau. I mean, we're talking a long time ago. And we are so conditioned that if we have leisure time, we feel guilt, right?
Yeah, or you feel like you're not doing enough, or you could do more, or yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, people work to live, not live to work. People live to work, not work to live, you know, which is a bit of a shame, because it's not about that, is it? I mean, over here now, they've just raised the retirement age up, and now they're giving you mortgages, death pledges up to the age of 85, because that's how long you're going to be working. And is that really what you want to do? You know, 100 years or 80 years ago, one wage in the family would do. It would pay for the house. It would take everyone on holiday. You'd be able to buy a car. Now, you know, each family member has to have 2-3 jobs, and it's still not enough. And, you know, you spend your whole 24 hours a day out of the house working for something you're never bloody in. And it's just, it's a joke. It's not what it's about at all.
Yeah, and we need to realize that guilt that we feel like we're not doing enough has been implanted in us, and it's really acceptance to your leisure time that we got to work towards. I mean, I'm a pope in the Church of Subgenius, and I stand for my slack, and all of my work has come because I had that slack. I had the leisure time for creative play that allowed me to manifest my true soul's purpose.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. I mean, if people weren't so hung up on getting a nicer car than the neighbors, or perhaps getting a new set of furniture for the garden, or, you know, all this crap that doesn't mean anything, perhaps they would have more time to think about things and relax a bit. But people are just running about so stressed, they don't have time to think about anything, Freeman. You know, it's really, they're just worrying about bills all the time and pressure. And that's a conditioning, like you say, that we're all, it starts at school and it never ends, you know, never ends at all.
Yeah, really, this is where road rage comes from, or all of the stress in our lives. When people are sitting in the traffic and they want to be somewhere else, but they're not. And so you can apply this to your life. You know, you want to be somewhere else, but you're not. And so all of that stress of believing that you should be somewhere else, but as the traffic stands in front of you, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. And so acceptance of that is a big deal. Now, you mentioned the children, and really this is where it begins. And we're seeing now that the United Nations is calling children agents of change. Yeah, they don't care about us old folks anymore. Ra'el said it too. They will just die and be replaced by you.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I saw something real sinister a couple of years back. And you know that, especially in America, they've actually been taking the kids out of schools on the buses under drill days, taking them away to wherever, and then bringing them back without even the parents knowing.
Creepy.
You know, just that's just unreal, you know. So the kids are sort of getting conditioned and separated from the parents. You know, they're doing everything they can to separate this family unit at the moment. And it is, it's quite scary and sinister, and yet very clever what they're doing. You know, they're using our own psychology against us, and they're definitely going for our children, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when these children pull up at their kindergarten and their elementary schools, they have large dumpsters in front of the schools that say Earth First. And it really is putting this guilt on being human into the children without them realizing. And like you say, they're using these strong points of our own beliefs, like, yes, we want to save the planet, we want the environment to be good, but then we don't realize the psychological effect of saying Earth First and that humans are destroying the planet, and these children are being programmed with that guilt from day one.
Yeah, and, you know, what we should be telling the children is, well, the corporations are mullering the planet. It's not the individual. It's you know, the corporations are telling us that we must pay more tax, and look, you'll be getting, we're all paying water taxes, and they'll be taxing your rail soon, you know, it'll be stupid. Whereas it's all these corporate owners that are actually messing up the planet. It's just a complete fallacy. It's a joke. And the guilt that they place on everybody, like you say, the brain training, the conditioning, is all set up so that you're a complacent little, compliant little slave. And it's all built that way. And when people wake up and realize that we may have a chance at a utopian planet, but at this point, we're quickly heading into World War III. You know, massive death, massive disease, whatever you want, a new economic collapse. It's all happening right in front of your faces. And even the truthers, even these apparent awake people are too complacent to be doing anything about it, which really gets them a wick, actually. And it's got to stop. The people, it's like Freeman said a minute ago, sit and think about it. Sit and think what you actually want in life and do it. Go for it. Actually implement steps to change. If you're working in a job that you hate and is paying you not enough money, and if your kids are going to school and they're getting bullied, pull them out. Homeschool, home educate, leave the job you don't like. Okay, money's going to be hard for a bit. You'll work it out. You'll find a way if you've got the will. But people just don't. They're happy. They're happy little slaves. And it's a sad state of affairs. Really bad.
Yeah, they're proud of it. You know,
they are, you know. And it's like I was speaking to my sister the other week, and bless her, she knows everything I do and everything I say, and she's just like, well, what can I do about it? And I'm like, well, that's what everyone says, what can I do about it? But the point is, you've got to stop paying the tax. The tax is what's ultimately killing the people. It's funding them. It's, you know, you obviously know there's not a law anywhere that states you've got to pay tax, Freeman. Yeah, but there's thousands and thousands of pages of legislation that says you go, but that's not real law. But people are still willingly paying tax to individuals. It's not even corporate. It's not even the governments. It's gone to individuals and manufacturers and all sorts of horrible people. And it's time people really took responsibility for, you know, you think you're not doing anything because you're buying a couple of beers and going home after a hard day's work and sitting in front of the TV. Well, I'm sorry, you're one of the biggest contributors because you're complacent and you're paying all that lovely money to them to afford them to do it. And it's really a big roundabout of laziness and complacency. And what can I do about it? Well, think about it, you know, sit down and actually think what you can do. And everyone will come up with something. People are amazing if you give them 5 minutes, you know. And everyone has got a talent, one way or the other. I mean, Freeman, you've built an amazing platform, and you've got thousands upon thousands of subscribers and followers. That's what you've created. You've been good at that. Okay, I've written a book. We're also looking at common law duties and opening grand jury meetings over here and whatnot. You know, everybody can do something, you know, maybe, and other people can write music, you know, that perhaps has lyrics and that wakes people up. Other people, you know, but everybody's got to do something, and everybody's got to, they've got to stop contributing to this system. It stinks.
Yeah, I quit in 1999. I knew at the moment that they were capping the Great Pyramid with gold that I was done with this reality. None of it made any sense. The real world wasn't what anyone thought it was. And I quit. I told them at the Kansas University, I say, I quit. And I'm never coming back. And they said, you're gonna walk out on a Kansas University referral? And I said, absolutely, because I'm never getting another job. And I created the Freeman Perspective while homeless, living in my van. I prefer the term home free because I selected to not pay rent, to not pay bills, not pay taxes, and live in my van. And I've had the most wonderful life anyone could possibly imagine. And this is something that I've really tried to, you know, push into people. It's like, you can quit all this and your life will still keep going. You know, even better than you ever thought it would.
That's exactly right. You know, it's a different perspective, isn't it? Freeman perspective. And it's, if you stop wanting this shiny crap, even, you know, not to say that you can't find a way of getting the shiny crap, but just do it in a morally sensitive way. There's no need to, you know, we all continuously do the same thing and nothing changes. That's the problem, right. You know. It's just you get up 6 o'clock in the morning, you eat some crap that's not good for you. You maybe kiss your missus goodbye. You don't see your kids because they're still in bed. You piss off to work. You spend 2 hours in the car getting to work. You then slave for some idiot who hates you for 12 hours. You jump back in the car, 2 hours back home. You're so knackered. You eat some other bit of crap, which is cancer-laden crap. And then you give your kiss, you might not have even seen your kids because now it's 8, 9 o'clock at night. You give your missus a quick peck. You can't even be bothered. You ain't got the energy to make love to them. And you go to bed and then you wake up and do the same crap. And all the meantime, they're taking the money off you and killing people with it. Well, well done you. Well done you. Enjoy your existence, you know. And it's rubbish. And what we've been trying to do is, I woke up 5 years ago. It's certainly not as long as you have been. But ever since I woke up, I was a successful builder. But now, and even since I woke up, I've tried resetting back up the building for my head. But every time I go see a customer and they want a shiny kitchen or they want this, so I just think, oh, straight away I have hate for them. And I don't, you know what I mean? It just, why do you want that crap? Do you know what I mean? And so I, even in my own mindset, I just don't have the mindset to provide that materialistic stuff for them, you know, and I just can't do it anymore. And so this is the point. And now we're doing all sorts of different things. We're about to set up a big housing initiative. But people, it's like you say, if they've got time to think about it, but they've got to make that decision. They've got to make that decision to go, right, I'm not going to do this anymore. Let's find a way out of it. And that will make the big difference.
And we will all agree that it is very difficult to make these choices if you do have a family. You know, you've got...
Absolutely. I've got three kids, you know, and it's not been easy for me. The last 5 years, I put my family through hell. And don't get me wrong, I was doing well. I had Range Rovers, I had BMWs, I had big houses, you know, and with holidays and all this. My kids had everything. And to go from that to this, it's been hard on my family. But we're getting through it. And we're closer and doing the right things. We're healthier than we've ever been. We're growing food. We're doing all sorts of things, you know. And it's and like I say, it's been the best 5 years of my life, you know. And it's and the most liberating. And people have got to do it. You've got to do it. Stop doing that mundane crap that everyone else does. Choose a different path.
Oh, those first few days when you have all to yourself and just, you know, at first you're going to feel the guilt, the confliction, the confusion. Oh, I should be doing something. But eventually you'll realize I actually have a lot of time and I can accomplish what I need to accomplish in a minimal amount of time. And yeah, you know, that's the mindset that we have to battle. But, you know, 1913, we had the National Education Association getting together with all these foundations like Carnegie, Rockefeller, Club of Rome, and they started implanting these thoughts into the children and limits to growth and all of the guilt that goes along with humanity. And so let's talk about that a little bit on these foundations and why they want to keep everybody so dumb.
Well, they can't allow the people to rise up. That's the simple reason about it. And if they properly educate your children to be free thinkers, there's all likeliness that their power will be affected by that. And that is the simple reasoning for it. that is it. And also, you know, they need workers. They don't need, you know, free thinkers. And it's like slaves that used to be in chains and whatnot, they were beaten and all the rest of it. They always had the chance of escape, yeah? Well, perhaps they had the chance of escape. But it was obviously quite a brutal way of making people do stuff. This way, it's a completely peaceful way, if you like, and they get people doing stuff without even knowing it. And if they don't teach your children appropriately, they will rise up, or they will say, they'll know within a couple of years, why am I doing this? What is this? You know, this is not. Remember the phrase you used to. Every toddler says, "You're not the boss of me."
Yeah.
Every toddler says it to their friend or whatever when they're giving them a slap or whatever. You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. I tell you now, within a year of nursery, they've kicked that out of them. Absolutely, that's gone. That is gone. They will never say it again. And that's a real shame because no one should be the boss of any other man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's and this is why they do it. The whole system they set up, I mean, I was amazed at the stuff behind it. And don't get me wrong, Freeman, that the Slave's Guide to the Galaxy isn't finished. I'm going to keep adding to it. We've got another 300 pages getting proofread now and all the rest of it. And that's all getting added to it. There's more chapters and more info on the schooling and all this sort of thing. As more stuff comes out, we'll keep increasing the size of the book. But this is the actual thought. It's like these Bilderberg meetings and Committee of 300 or whatever you want to, you know, all of these firms we all know of or companies, they all sit back and this is what they're talking about. You know, they're all sitting, how do we keep these, how do we keep our cattle in place? You know, I like to call them the farmers and we are the cattle. And that's all it's about, you know. How do we keep the cattle complacent? How do we keep them in place? How do we keep them happy? How can we take more feed off them and yet keep them working? How can we give them less shelter? Can we fit them into a smaller accommodation, keep them working? You know, and it's all that little game, you know, of how they can keep it all keep them up in power and us down here. And it starts right off with your toddlers.
Well, you gave a great list in A Slave's Guide to the Galaxy of a comparison between slavery and having a job. And I think when you see these two things side by side, you quickly see you really are a slave.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, a couple thousand people have read the book now. It's been out a few months, and no one has turned around to me and said they're not a slave.
Right.
So, you know, it's obviously working or it's hitting some truths there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The schooling system is like a prison. Work life is like slavery. And that's, you know, the whole schooling system is set up like a prison so that they get used.
The people that create prisons also design the schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're probably, what we've got happening over here now, they're turning our schools into academies. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, they're basically privatizing our schools. And what they're allowing is military funding into the schools. Mm. And they're going to have a military ethos. Yeah. So not only are they taught to stand in line, go to the canteen for the lunch, they get playtime in the yard. They get, you know, all of this. And now they're going to be, there's going to be a military ethos as well.
Oh, that makes prison even better. You have more freedom in prison than you do in your school, folks.
Exactly. You know, at least you get 3 square meals a day and you don't need to worry about paying your bloody taxes.
And you're not getting military programming. You've got your time. All you got to do is sit there and play spades all day.
That's it. I hear you get pretty good weed in that in there as well. So
that does happen too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got a lot more liberty in prison, folks, than you do in school. And this is coming from someone with experience. And that's the truth of it.
It really is true as well, Freeman. And this is, why would people be happy with this? What have they done? So it's because you've got material objects. People are sitting there probably going, is this guy for real? Really? But I've got an Xbox. I've got a 50-inch TV. I've got, you know, I've got some food in my fridge. And da-da. Yeah, but think about the whole picture. You know, it's not about that crap. It's not, you know, what... you have got to. The thing is, if you can't step away from your life and go and change it automatically, you're a slave to that system. That's plain and simple. And I know, well, it's taken me 5 years to nearly get myself free out of the system. And I'm nearly there, you know. But it's, people can't just jump out of the situation and change overnight. They can stop everything overnight, but they can't change overnight. And it's not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying it is an easy thing to do. It's just what you should do is realize what you are, and then maybe you might be able to make positive steps towards changing it.
Yeah, and everything you say is reminding me of a Disney film known as Mars Needs Moms. Now, this is a Disney film that most people missed, and there's a reason for that, folks. There is a conspiracy behind this Dan Fogler film. As Kai is saying, they want to separate us so that we can't reintegrate into a dangerous hole. They want the children in a militant mind state so that they serve the state and not the family. And in the movie, Mars Needs Moms. Now, first of all, the movie shows a Martian civilization that is a female matriarchy that is military ordered. And so this female or matriarchy military controls all the children. They throw all the boys away into the trash. They only keep the females. And then if you are a really good mom on Earth, then they come and take you. They kill you and put your brain into their robots that are controlling the children. So if you're a really good mom, or you're a really good kid, they will come and take your mom and kill her and put her mind into the robots. This is the Disney film, folks. And what happens is that the Martian females find ancient... Well, first they meet a male, and they start to wonder, well, maybe we're being lied to. And they find this secret cavern where their history is held. And in that cavern, it shows the family core, father, mother, child. And this was a completely foreign concept to these kids that had been raised in this matriarchal military system. And it destroyed it. It destroyed the whole military system the moment that they found that they had this family core. Now, Mars Needs Moms was yanked out of the theaters as quick as they could, as quick as Disney could, because they are your main social engineers, creating a lot of this destruction of the family core, along with Fox and these other media. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, what the TV program and the media, the films.
Yeah, and the destruction of the family core. How they are manipulating our mindsets into... I mean, we could see in the films that they are right there exactly what you're saying they need. They put it in Mars Needs Moms, you know?
Well, I mean, especially they're attacking the children. And if you look at all these Disney films, none of the hero... children, if you like, the main characters, I've got any parents. They're all generally single kids, or, you know, they've been orphans or whatever they like. They completely disassociate that family tie, don't they? And that's just the programming for the children. They're trying to, it's like, what's that one with the kids and the guy with the balloons in the house with the balloons, you know? They're all single. And then you've got, you know, they're all single kids. It's And you sort of think, why? Why can't they just make a film about a normal family unit? You know, and, you know, it doesn't mean it's because Disney is a military machine. It's a military programming machine, as are every single film that gets funding and put on the cinema. It's all got a hidden story behind it, one way or the other. And it's like Avatar. Avatar loves, oh, what a big, great film, and da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, the story of Avatar, it's practically the same as what's happening in Syria right now. You know, we're over there for resources and all the rest of it, and we're nicking the bloody, you know, and the natives are stopping us getting there, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's all, everything is set up. It's like that. TV programs are called programs for a reason. Most of your followers will know this, Freeman. It's but you know, this is, but when everybody sits in front of a screen for their entertainment, they've got to fill it with programs that disassociate the family units, break them up. It's like all the TV programs. We don't watch TV in the house now, which is a great step in a house of three kids. But all the TV, they used to watch this thing called Bloody EastEnders. You don't have that over there, but I'm sure you've heard of it. And the whole thing is just a depressive, every family's splitting up and they're all having affairs. And, you know, in my kid's school, out of his class, 32 kids, there's not one family that is still together except us.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Out of 32 potential families in his class, he is the outcast because he's got a family. He's not an outcast, but he's the odd one out because he's got the most normal family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody's on the second husband or third husbands, and they've got, you know, brothers from different. And not that I'm saying managers don't, you know, but everything is set up to break it up and to stop you having that normal family unit. And we work very hard now to keep that, because it's definitely, there is an agenda to do that. When we live in such a throwaway society and planned obsolescence society, marriage comes into that, family comes into that as well. And it's quite a sad state of affairs when love can't even win, you know. It's, yeah, it's quite shocking, really. But, you know. Go on.
I've always felt there was a big problem with the age segregation going on in schools. I mean, to stick all of these kids of the same age together and have them compete without having the benefit of having the old folks and the younger folks and the slightly older folks to help integrate you into the system, they segregate all these ages.
Yeah. I can't remember what country was doing it. I'm not sure if it was Denmark or somewhere like that, but they actually had different schools, and they were more like community centers, and there was no doors or walls on any of the classrooms, and kids could basically float about and just learn what they wanted to do. There'd be different areas for different things, and kids of all ages, and no uniforms and all this sort of thing. And apparently they were getting the best results, you know, everything was going great, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way we should be teaching our kids, you know, not sit down, shut up, don't be different, don't question me, don't question my story about history, what I'm telling you. Don't listen to what I'm telling you about geography. Don't listen to all that nonsense that you're hearing on the internet, you know. And it's just listen to me, regurgitate what we're telling you. And it's just, there's no free thought, is there at all? And it is all programming. And it's like in these films and whatnot, they've all got hidden messages. They're all, even music now, as you know, it's, well, not that you can really call it music now. It's just like tribal beats.
Like you were saying, they use Katy Perry for torture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. And it's just, I found that unreal when I did that. But then I thought, well, yeah, that cool figures. That played loud at me for 36 hours. I've gone mental and all. It's yeah, but all these, that's right. I mean, it's just crap. It's that's what they were using in Guantanamo, and they use it still routinely to torture people, is all this sort of pop music that you love, not you, but you know, the people love, and they're buying. And it's people have got to realize all the stuff you watch, all the music you listen to, all the games your kids are playing on the internet are exactly this. Modern Warfare 3, Battlefront 4, you know, Drone Wars, blah, 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 blah. warrior nation, blah, 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 blah. Why can't they just make a noise? I remember when I had games as a kid and it was Spyro the Bloody Dragon. And it was, you know, it was, you know, fluffy stuff. Not that I'm saying everything should be like that, but why does everything need to be based around war and guns and weapons and fighting and destruction and dirt? Because they want it that way. That's a normal in our planet. That is what we do. We are a destroyer. Well, we're not, but, you know, it's an inhumane world now, isn't it?
Well, they're building this world government, and they're really conditioning us for that. UNESCO, the United Nations for Education, Science, and Culture Organization, you know, they came out of Disney right alongside of Monsanto, just so you folks know, they, you know, who was pushing these things. This global government, this world government, and the UNESCO system of creating culture. I mean, it's right there in the title.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of these, I call them companies, because that's what they are, you know, essentially organizations. And again, they're like the Bilderbergers or whatever you want to call them, trilateral. They sit down and work out ways to suppress the people. You know, they're not there for any other reason but to suppress the people. And they may have a nice charity looking, no, oh, we do this. No, you don't. You just repress. You're repression. You're there to hold the people down and hold humanity down. It's massive government, isn't it? It's the more government they've got, the more people listen to them. And it's, gives me shivers every day I look at it. And you're right, you know, the UN, UNESCO, all of these different organizations are just nefarious schemes to cause us harm, you know.
Well, as you point out, it goes even a bit deeper and a bit stranger than that when we're looking at the screen. And we're constantly inundated with screens now. They're at our gas pumps. They're at everywhere we turn. There's a screen facing us at the restaurant, at the bank, at the, you know, everywhere we go. And now you're showing how they can pulse certain frequencies through the television screen and cause different emotional reactions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's his name? Is it Steve Jobs, who Apple, who died? And
yeah.
He never let his kids have a iPad or an iPhone.
And the guy who created the television never let his children watch it.
Because he knows the reason, because it's a tool. And they've got these hypnotizing pulses going on behind it. And have you ever noticed, if you've got a room full of people with the TV on, everyone's gazing at it. It's just, they're not even saying or responding to it. They're just gazing at it with the mouth open. Or have you noticed if an advert pops up on the TV, you find yourself gazing at the TV. And we had to get rid of ours because, and I tell you what, it's been much better since, but yeah, I mean, they've got patents on this. I can't remember the patent number, but it's in the book. But they've got patents for all of this sort of stuff, and it's and you won't believe it unless you see it. Well, it's there. There's a patent there, and your television set is a programming weapon that is in every single room of every house in the world, practically. And it's probably the biggest weapon of all time, is that TV sitting in your room. And now the internet's taken over that spot. And your handheld device, they're all the same. They're all, you're all getting drawn in and hypnotized. There's subliminals going on behind, you know, things popping up that you don't quite see, but you do see, your mind sees it. Did I see that? Well, I don't know. Did I see that? You know. And it's all going on. It's all happening, and it's not for good reasons, my man.
Yeah, well, luckily, due to the Wild West nature of the World Wide Web, we can get in here and start to spread some disobedience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be done. Civil disobedience, that's what my next book's called.
Oh, fantastic.
A slave's guide to civil disobedience.
All right. Yeah, I'm definitely working you towards us getting to some more solution-oriented talks, but I want definitely to outline everything that we're looking at because they are establishing these habits of reaction in us, and this is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's like we say, you go through the schooling, you go through your training. So even when you go into your training for your jobs or whatever, the common core training will keep you in place for the job. It doesn't show you enough to question what your bosses, etc., are doing, or the way the system's actually set up and the job you're working at. So you merely know how to operate the till that you're at, or the workstation you're at. That's all you know about the factory or whatever you work in. And it's designed specifically for that, so that you don't question any practices. Or is there a better way to do that? Or why did he just sign that bit of paperwork and put that over there? What happened there? I didn't quite see that. You know, it's all designed so that you don't step out of place. And it's, if you don't know too much, you can't cause too much ripples on the water. And it goes from school to your university, where you're taught just as much crap as you are in school. And then you go on, if not worse, yeah, exactly. You know, complete lies and fabrication and false facts, especially when it comes to science and history and geography. My God, we don't know if the bloody earth's flat or not, for God's sake. You know, it's, you know, so it's all disassociating you from the planet, from your families, all the rest of it. And then you basically, by the time you get a job, depending on how well you've been programmed, it will depend on the pay scale or the menial rewards that you'll get in the job that you receive. And in the job you get, you won't be free. You won't be able to spread your wings and make the company you're in any better or anything like that. Like I say, you'll be consigned to your workstation. And if you step out of line, like school or whatever, you'll get your three warnings and they'll get rid of you. And it's, well, even over here now, we've got zero contract hours. Have you got stuff like that over there now?
I haven't had a job in 16 years.
Well, I know, but just looking at what's going on over here now, Asda's or Walmart, if you like, places like that can basically take people on and not give them any hour contract. And they'll basically say, well, you've got to be here on demand when we want, but we're not going to promise you 40 hours a week. So people are basically signing contracts with these people and getting 8-16 hours a week, whatever, which stops them getting another job. But that means two or three people can fill that one position, if you get what I mean. And then the unemployment figures drop in the country. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Four people doing one job off the unemployed list, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's crap. But then you're not even in the job long enough to know what's going on to sort of change it or say there's a bit of corruption going on here. You know, it's everything's just to disassociate you from your work, your family, everything.
You keep making me think of Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
if you folks haven't seen the film Brazil, it's worth the 2.5 hours. It's, you know, that is one work of art right there.
This is it, my friend. I mean, this again, you know, it's like the elite, there's a rumor going around that they've got to tell you what they're doing to you. Isn't that right? It's a gentleman's agreement that they sort of tell you what's coming up as they're doing these films and whatnot, and the World War III, and God knows what, diseases and pandemics. And if they tell you what's coming up, then their conscience is clear or whatever. And it's very true. All of these things, they tell you what's going to happen. And look at all these World War Z and all of these.
Do you think we're going to have zombie attacks?
I think we're already in a zombie nation, my friend.
Yeah.
I think the people walking every day to work, getting on that bus, driving their cars.
How do they do it, Kai? How do they do it? I mean, I feel sad for them. Every time I have somebody standing on that other side of the counter, I feel pity, and I can't help it. And why can't they walk away? It just drives me crazy. I want to grab a big old hand drum like a crazy rainbow warrior and just go into corporation after corporation and see how many of these slaves I can drag out by their neckties beating on a drum. I mean, that is a dream of mine.
I'll join you on that day.
Nice.
We'll see what we can do.
Nice.
It's true, but it's illusional. You know, it's chasing the menial bucks. It's chasing the couple of quid. It's chasing, oh, I might be able to buy that stereo I want, or, you know, I might be able to buy a better second-hand car. I might be able to buy, you know, move to a slightly bigger house with a neighbor I don't bloody like. you know, it's
or just the fear of losing everything that they have.
Yeah.
Like, you need to give up this concept of possession. Really, you got to be willing to lose everything, because we're at the edge, right, Kai? I mean, this is the edge, and
we're on the precipice, yeah, without a doubt.
And we need to be ready to walk away from all of our gained trinkets.
Well, they're nothing. You live and you die, and you can't take any of them with you.
And, yeah, that was a good point you made in the book, is that these possessions will outlive you.
Yeah. Well, they won't, because they're all crap and they're built to break.
Right.
Seconds. You know, planned obsolescence, your washing machine will only work 3-4 years and then it will break, so you need to buy another one. All planned. You know, it's but possessions, what is a possession? I own nothing. I have 3 beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. I've got 2 beautiful dogs, but I own nothing. You know, and it's and that's the way it'll be when I die. And it's here, look at Rockefeller. Rothschilds, what's his saying? Use everything, own nothing. Yeah. And that's coming from Rothschild, man. You know what I mean? And it's very true when you sort of think about it like that. And the possessions own you. You don't own them.
That's the truth. So how do you feel about this idea, the concept that came about, the free man on the land, which kind of stole my name, but that's okay. And the concepts of legal versus lawful. I mean, is this something that people should pursue, the concept of going into court and trying to take these things on?
Right. I'm going to choose my words carefully here.
Yes.
Okay. And I hope your listeners listen to me very carefully. Don't ever call yourself a freeman or a sovereign citizen, yeah? But implement as much of that information as you can, yeah? I can, in America now and over here, we're both being put on the terrorist list, yeah? For being, you know, sovereign citizens or freemen or whatever. There's a lot of truth behind it. And then there's also a lot of fallacy, I would say. And I lived the freeman bit for a couple of years. I've implemented a lot of the lawful remedy, and a lot of it has worked. And the reason they're now calling you terrorists or freemen or sovereign terrorists is because they have no lawful argument to it. And so they are just bringing the hammer down on you calling yourself such thing. Now, there was a guy on Higher Side Chats the other night. Two guys, what was it called? Oh, something 31, Agenda 31. Two guys, I forgot their name. And they are doing this, and it sounds great in America, but they're actually calling you state citizen. I'll try and get the link for you in a minute and post it for you.
Greg's a good friend of the show, just so everybody knows, you know, over there at the Higher Side Chats.
I was aware of that. That's why I mentioned it. But great couple of guys, and they're doing exceptional work with this state citizen ID. And what they're basically you've got to go and listen to it yourself, basically. But there's a lot of truth to the freeman stuff, and the lawful. We've all got to start standing up to them. And if they want, but there is never going to be any recourse when you play their game, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you've got to pick your battles, people. I mean, if I'm sitting in a car and I get pulled over with my children in the car, I'm not going to be asking a policeman, are you on your oath? Yeah. Because chances are he's going to mace me through my car window, smash my car window, scare my kids, pull me out, impound my car, take my kids to social services. Yay, well done me, yeah. I didn't play that card very well. But on the other hand, if I had everything linked, recorded, my eldest boy is 18 years old and my wife's sitting in the car, they can give me 2 witness statements. Yeah. So I know this is the stuff I'm involved with. I basically set up what we call peacekeepers over here. And if we have 2 witness statements for our criminal event or practice, we can then take those witness statements to a grand jury session. It's slightly different to the grand juries that are over your neck of the woods. But grand juries over here are 13 to 25 people. from the community, and they can hear if there's a case to be heard of the two witness statements you've got. Yeah. Now, with that, they can then produce warrants, proper wax signed sealed warrants, and they can then go on to another process called a petty jury, which is similar sort of thing. And the judgments that these guys can make, no judge in the land over here, certainly the way they work now in these maritime courts, can overturn it, because not one man can overturn a jury of peers of 25 people. So there is legal and lawful, there's lawful remedy, and that's what we are in the process of trying to set up over here at this time. But it's all about picking your battles, people. Now, when it comes to tax, the Freeman route is definitely the way to go, or any legislation or lawful remedy that you can get to get yourself out of paying tax, water rates, water bills, anything like that, use it. Use it, implement it, try it, go for it. Why not? Yeah? Because we all have a duty to stop paying this tax at this point in time, because you're killing people with it. Yeah. So, in answer to your question, I would say the Freeman Sovereign Movement, I would back some of it and not other, you know. Certainly don't call yourself a Freeman, unless your name is Freeman,
right.
Of course. Don't call yourself a Freeman. Don't call yourself a sovereign citizen. Call yourself a law-abiding human. Yeah? And you know, have fun with it. But just choose your battles. Be careful, people, you know.
Yeah,
see, this is a thing. Sorry, this is the thing. What Oregon, the Oregon standoff was all about. Yeah, you heard about that?
Go ahead and detail it a bit.
Well, the Bundy guys and all that took mm-hmm. over the nature reserve or whatever it was out there. Tried stopping the federal land grab that was going on, all the rest of it. They were as close to a revolution as you guys have got out there at this point in time.
Yeah.
But they were definitely standing on the right means, and look what happened. The FBI went in and cold-blooded murdered somebody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The Rainbow family of Living Light has been in this same position for over a decade of standing between the federal government and the national lands. And so I always tell people Rainbow is an amazing event and showing and sharing how people all get together and can get along without authority. And then it also stands in the way of the Bureau of Land Management as they start to take up all of the national lands and to make human habitat zones. You know,
yeah, it's agenda. Yeah, it's getting everybody out of the nature zones, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
For agenda into your mega cities, and you won't even be allowed out there. They're doing the same thing over here, and it's not right. And it's if we had weapons over here right now, well, we do. They're just slightly harder to get. I believe we're at the stage now where you would see us do the same sort of thing as the Michigan boys. I know that we've had enough, you know.
Yeah, and that's where we got to be careful, because they are absolutely conditioning us to violent revolution. When we really look
exactly.
at this puzzle, it's about stealing back your slack.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. They definitely want riots, unsettlement, violent revolution, all of that. And I think we've got to use the pen as mightier than the sword at this time. Weapons have never solved anything on this planet. And it's time for... If we are going to have a... revolution, it's got to be based on love, and it's got to be done by the pen.
A good example of this was the Gaza wall, and there were people that burnt themselves, that blew themselves up, they were shooting each other, and then the lawyers stepped in and proved it unlawful, and the wall came down. All of that suffering, all of the, you know, all these people martyring themselves was completely ineffectual and unnecessary. It was the lawful nature and the unlawful nature of the system that had to be proven through the legalese, right?
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, Freeman, it's real easy to trip these guys up, you know. You just need to sit down and do due diligence on whatever they've been doing wrong. And even their own paperwork is corrupt. So it really takes very little time at all. It just takes organizing the proper channels and doing it effectively and lawfully, and you will get remedy. But it's all about being organized. And like I say, at the moment, I'm very disillusioned with people, especially truthers, because they're a very complacent bunch. And a lot of them just want to go and put on a Jesuit mask and go and take over a building and try and hold it as long as they can. And, oh, well done you. That's not what I'm in it for. I'm in it for long-lasting change. Going back to the book, my friend, yes. This is why I wrote a book. Everybody's on the internet now, mucking about with this, and people's attention spans are very, very small now. You've got to write a tweet, you know, for anybody to be interested, you know, or some real quick caption or something like that. But the big problem we're all having is waking up our neighbors or friends or family or anything like this. And this is why I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book with the most relevant, hard-hitting facts I can find in it. And they're all facts. There's no conspiracy theory in that book, Freeman. Yeah? Right. They're all facts. So you can hand that book to your neighbor or your mum or your uncle or your friend or your workmates, or grab a copy and leave it on the table at work. Yeah,
exactly.
So that it's waking people up. It's something tangible. We're going back old school now. I've been quite impressed. People do actually like flicking through it. And I think that's a big problem everybody's saying is waking people up, waking people up. That's no right. One will listen to me. And so, right, there you go. There's a book, Slaves Go to the Galaxy, Amazon. Go grab a copy and hand it around to as many people as you can get. And there's a great prize for the best selfie, not selfie, but the best picture that the book's been taken in, i.e. top of a mountain or something like that.
Dropping it off at Bilderberg.
Yes. If you can get a picture with Henry Kissinger with it in your hand, I'll give you a thumbs up.
All right. I'm going to work at that. Now, here's the truth, Kai, is that we've got to be playful in our reaction to this scenario. And we are these amazing artists. I mean, it's really hard to remain an artist in this boring reality we have when we're also stuck with the concept of debtor's prison. But that artist in us is the power to escape this.
Yeah, we are loving, amazing creatures. And this is what they stunt. This is what they stop in us at school. You know, we constantly want to expand ourselves into whatever fashion it comes out. And in many wonderful ways, people come out. And it's that never let that die, and I encourage that all the time. And it's like my kids, two of them were homeschooled, one of them went to school, blah blah blah. And my daughter is 13, and she's writing her first book, and that's an amazing thing to do. Yeah, but she's done it herself, no pushing, none of that. You know, she's seen what her dad's done and all the rest of it. And you know, but that's what happens if you allow them just to bloom. You know. And I don't, we don't push, we home educate, we don't home school. Two completely different things. Home education is you let them learn whatever they want to learn. And if there's something they want to learn one day, we research it. We go in and we have a look. The internet's an amazing tool for that. Homeschooling is when you're a bit of a stricter parent, probably not as cool as we are, and you want to stick them down a curriculum. Fair enough, everyone to their own, at least they're not in school. But they're two completely different things. And it's like you say, we are artists, lovers, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, don't ever stop the expression, human expression, because that's vitally important.
Thank you so much, Kai, for giving us your time and your wonderful book. And folks, thank you for supporting me and keeping me going, because that's the only reason this show stays on the air. And, you know, 11 years now, and it's all thanks to you, and you guys have been there so long, and I know so many of you that it's just like talking to friends and family. And you might have noticed that we just released our hit single, Into the Fire, and the CD is for sale over at molecularband.com. You guys are going to be blown away. I mean, seriously, it's an awesome album, and it's only getting better. So come check it out at molecularband.com. And don't forget to get your copy of A Slave's Guide to the Galaxy and check out Kai's website. We will see you all next week, and we'll have much, much, just such good stuff coming your way, I promise.
Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
Your money ain't your money tomorrow. You begged and you borrowed. You lied, then you cheated. Then your funds, they became depleted. Quick money coming fast in a hurry. We can pay it later, baby. Don't worry.
Toilet paper is going to be, you know, this is more valuable than the U.S. dollar in a few weeks' time. I can make dollars right here all I want. Here's $1,000. Here's $5,000. Here's $1,000,000.
Wall Street's out picking everybody's pocket. Keep consuming, baby. Don't stop it. Drink a shot, smoke some crack. Look, little babies are fed. Have an argument with the dead on their heads.
Drop money on me from 10,000 feet. He's gonna do what it takes to get the economy back on its feet. Holding the world for ransom, create a money expansion.
How are we gonna keep this Titanic afloat when our bank accounts are filled with fiat?
With a bank, he's got the bus line, he got the department stores, and now he's after us. Why?
Your money ain't your money tomorrow. You begged and you borrowed. You lied, then you cheated. Then your funds, they became depleted. Quick money coming fast in a hurry. We can pay it later, baby. Don't worry.
Never taught me to save for a rainy day. My mama never taught me to keep the IRS away. What came first, the chicken or the dollar? When you find out, brother, give me a holla.
Everybody seems to pledge allegiance into the lies they trust. Everybody knee deep in a global credit bust. No one gets something for nothing. And with the push of a button, money's created from thin air. Strange, no one seems to care.
I never had an instant of doubt in my mind. Oh, yes, I'm sure a lot of people went belly up on that one.